Welcome to Infusion, Prophetic Moment Live Open Forum Radio Broadcast. Here are Americus Cheney, Apostle of Sons and Daughters of Elijah Covenant Fellowship, and Dr. Clarice Cheney, Senior Pastor of Soul Harvest Ministries.
Well, good evening. God bless you. This is your co-host, Americus Cheney.
Praise God. This is your host, Dr. Clarice Cheney.
Amen, amen. We're glad to be in the studio again, giving honor to the Spirit of the Lord. And we have a special guest with us in the studio today. I shared in with them last night with his 29th anniversary. Amen. And we're so delighted and excited to have the man of God, Bishop Lewis Williams of the Household of Faith. God bless you, sir.
Bless you. Thank you for having me on.
Amen. Amen. And we pray that. And then we have Apostle
Fidel. Bless the Lord.
Prophet Walter Evans.
Amen and amen. So those that are listening, we want you to come on and gather and tell somebody. We got the bishop in the house, and we'll be talking about the condition of the church, the state of the church. And we try to stay on that and sort of get a live spiritual feed from the kingdom of God, directly from the kingdom of God, and what we need to do, especially you young ministers that are out there, you coming into pastoralship now. You need direction and hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. The hour that we're living in, mm-hmm. So many people are leaving the church, and they're being led astray, not to just other fundamentals of gospel, I would say propaganda, because there's a lot of people that are led in Kabbalicism. You have a lot of people out there trying to move in the power of God. It's not the power of God. It's not that. There's purposes and reasons why they're trying to leave and trying to say that the church is not in order like it ought to be. Bishop, are we living in the season of apostasy?
Of course, you know, because we are in the last days, and quite naturally, apostasy is a falling away of faith. The faith is there to believe in God. That God said that He is, you know, our object. We should, every faith to have an object, and God said, "Have faith in God" in the book of Mark. And so, when we have faith in God, and then a lot of people maybe falling away from the premises and the principles of what God has given us, and but we need to be able to help, you know, millennials, be able to help the adults, and to be trying to be an example of what God would have us to be.
Yeah, I was talking to Pastor Robert Brown of Builders of Faith. He's a mutual friend of ours, and he was saying that some of the churches throughout the country, some of the attendances are not there. What do you think, why the attendance are not in the church? Is it the church, or is it just society in a whole?
Well, it's a combination of all, because we have the cyber church back in the day. The cell phones and back in the day, and Facebook and back in the day, we didn't have all this, but because you had to go to church to hear the preacher, you know. But now that we can go on the air, and now we can have other, we can be on the phone, and so a lot of that has to do with the pulling away, because everybody's not strong. And but I'm old school. I like to be in God's presence.
Amen.
As far as in the house of God. But other people have all these apparatuses that they can listen to,
yes.
And through. So they figure, well, I don't need to be there because I see the church, I hear it. But God said, forsake not, assemble yourself together as a man of some is, but exalt one another. And so what you see the day approaching. So he wants us actually to be, you know, just like a ball game. I like to use allegories. The basketball player, you know, they got to be in the arena. The fans got to be in the seats. So why we should not be in the church?
Amen, amen. So what would you say to those that are listening, and that young person, that millennial or older person, say, well, now I don't have to be in the church. I can listen on a live stream. I could podcast. What would you say to them concerning that?
Okay. Well, all that's good, but you still can't get that particular feeling, because there's somebody dating someone. And they say, well, can this last? you know, they're in one city, I'm in the other across town, they never see each other. And so a lot of that comes into play of separatism, but they got to get in each other's face to enjoy. They got to meet each other eventually.
Yes.
It can't be long distance. So you got to use sometime with the word of God, you know, examples like that to let them know that for any relationship to prosper, any relationship to go to another level, you got to be in the presence of that person. So you got to be in the presence of God, because, you know, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere, but he wants us to be there.
Yes.
In the house of God, actually, where you can feel his presence.
So what you're saying basically is because the foundation principle of actually entering to a sanctuary has been depleted because of the modern technology that we have when it comes down to visitation. And you quoted the scripture, forsake not to assemble yourselves together. Mm-hmm. And of course, if you're on a tablet or a cell phone, you're not being connected to, and I believe that, yeah, there is no distance from the Shekinah glory of God that he can be expressed mm-hmm. in the person of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit at any moment and any time. But coming in that kilometer, that synergy coming together mm-hmm. as a whole in one body. What do you tell that young man that are listening, Bishop, you know, coming back to the church? And I know you said experience, because one thing I can think of is the laying on of hands that they cannot experience.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But one of the biggest thing, as we go to the millennials and all of them, even some old schoolers and baby boomers, and God said, train up a child in the way he should go. When you get old, he will not depart from it. So we may put a lot of things towards the millennials because they don't understand the process, but, you know, we teach them, they like results.
Yes.
We understand the process. But when we don't process them as from a small child up to get them something to reflect on, then they don't have nothing to reflect back on when we're talking to them.
Yes.
You know, if reading the Bible, mom or dad, you know, if there's a mom and dad. So it's a whole lot that contributes to the millennials that may be away. And so we got to find out when we talk to them, what is the root of your problem?
Amen.
Because we just can't, when a doctor diagnose you, he just don't look at you and without going to the root of the problem. We need to spend time to talk with them. To win them over, we got to have some type of communication to find out why you're not doing this and why you're not doing that. And when we talk to them and they see that we love them and consistent with them, and that's one of the biggest things they can draw them back is the love and the consistency. I mean, we can't go, you know, far from this Bible. The Bible is true. Mm-hmm. And we got to go back to what God is saying. You know, faith, love, consistency. You know, loving your brother as you will, you know, like to be loved.
Well, have we compromised in that area? Well, the church, what do you see? Have we compromised that just to get a gathering mm-hmm. from the Word of God, leading from the Word of God just to for the sake of those coming and entering in? Do you believe that?
Yes, in some cases, I would not say holistically all, but I would say, you know, too many, because the millennials are smart, they're sharp, they're witty, they have things, a lot of things to offer, and but we cannot pull away from the principles of God to just to win them, you know, because eventually we go right back, no matter how far you get from the Word, you're going to go right back. It's full cycle. You're going to go right back to the Word. And so that we do that a lot to not only winning millennials, but anybody maybe wealthy,
amen,
gifted, talented. So we have to check ourselves out first before we, you know, point the finger at someone else and say, why they're not doing this and why they're not doing that. In the book of Judges, I like this, in Judges 2:7, it said, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of the inheritance of Timnath-Heres in the mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gash. And all was a generation after generation after generation. And then they got to this last generation. It said, also all that generation were gathered or died unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done with Israel. So each generation became weaker and weaker. And so then it says generation didn't know God nor his works. So we look at the millennials. So what are we doing as the baby boomers? What are we doing that are the seasoned men and women? Because we can't keep getting weaker after my generation, another generation. Because when we minister to the millennials, that's a generation coming after them.
Yes.
So we have to go after them and talk with them to try to win them, you know, with the word of God. Once again, back to love, back to faith, back to consistency, back to being truth and being real. Because young people want you to be real with them.
See, yeah, because that was the next question I was going to ask, and then we're going to allow the panel to come in after a couple of more questions, concerning about a transparency. Because they like to keep it, not just like you said, Bishop, not just the millennials. I think the church is missing where that they want to see. Because years ago, you know, I've been preaching just as long as you have, and I've seen where that we have defaulted, you know, Apostle Donaldson and so many things, where that you have had pastors sleep with, you know, the women of the church and people that was coming up, they saw all these things and it detoured them now.
People do
you
that?
Know, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And that now is not because of money and this and that. And now they're using it as an excuse. I want to ask Bishop Williams one more question. And then I want to, Apostle, I'm going to ask you something. But how do we bridge that gap and concerning the church, there's people do not believe in God no more because of these things, these inadequacies, these hurtful things that they have done. I would call it wickednesses years ago in the church. How do we say, look, this is where we're at now. That was then. So how do we bridge the gap back to say, look, this is the transparency of the church. This is what we did. But what do we do now?
Well, one thing we got to do, we got to stop making excuses.
Come on, Bishop.
Because, you know, if that person is doing wrong, God going to judge them for their wrongness.
Yes.
He's not going to judge me for your wrongness unless I let your wrongness overtake me.
Yes.
So we got to get to the young people, let them know, okay, what about you and God? What about you and your relationship? Make it personal.
Yes.
Because we're so impersonal today because, I mean, you sit in a room with five people. And like I say, I love to use the allegories. And they're not going, they can walk out the room, and that same two people, the same five people, can see each other the next day or later on, and they don't even recognize each other because they got something, you know, pulling their, you know, attention. You know, they're inundated with other things. So we got to get back from off these phones for a minute.
Yes.
And talking to someone, having to look at you, and you minister to them. So how you win them, once again, is old-fashioned communication, old-fashioned talking, and winning them by loving them. And that's how God want us. So we come up with all type of, gadget after gadget after gadget. And I understand where we are today in our society. What the bottom line of it is, when them gadgets are turned off, if they are turned off, well, how do we turn people on? Once again, what we do right now, I'm looking at your face and I'm communicating with you.
Yes.
Looking at you all and I'm communicating with you all. So we got to get back to that, you know, old-fashioned communication.
Amen. Apostle Donaldson, what are we missing? The church, you know, because when it pertains down to the glory and the power of God, are we missing the manifestation of the Shekinah or the Pentecost?
Yeah, that's definitely a part with it, and I agree with Bishop Williams wholeheartedly. I mean, we're living in the age of the information superhighway in terms of the internet, whereas everyone and their mother nowadays has a television ministry with Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, you know, can have a ministry; they can go live, and society's a lot more transient today, right? People used to work on jobs for 20, 30 years and then retire. They don't stay on the same job anymore.
Yes.
They used to live in the same city for many years. It's not the same anymore. And it's very similar with the church. People are shifting and they're moving and they don't want to be stationary. Nowadays, you find individuals that they don't have the experience, haven't been trained and tutored and lettered, and their bishops and their apostles and their the prophets. If all be chiefs, where be the Indians? Another thing I think is a big problem is we've moved away from the Acts paradigm of ministry. For many years, it's been the focus on the prosperity of the individual as opposed to the body, where it's been conferences and, you know, how you can be more a lot of motivational stuff. And if you even look at a lot of the television ministry, it's a lot of how successful you can be, how successful the individual can be. If you look at the church that was established according to the book of Acts, they had a lot of outreach into the community. Mm-hmm. It was built, number one, on prayer. They went from house to house breaking bread and having fellowship. That means they had the tentacles of the church in the community.
Yes.
And I think that, by and large, went by the wayside. So a lot of people feel now they don't have to go to a building. They can just sit at home and they can have their pick of different ministries. And we have to get back to prayer and fasting, get back to the altar, that foundation.
Yes.
And because the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together.
Yes.
And finally, another point Bishop touched on is, you know, people like to make the excuses. Somebody offend them in church, so they're not going back to the church.
Yes.
But they get offended on the job.
Yes.
But they don't give up the institution of work.
Amen, that's true.
Right? Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the supermarket, they get offended. That's but God right. forbid they stop going to the supermarket.
Yes.
They buy a car that's a lemon, they're not going to stop driving cars and start riding donkeys.
But one thing, if I may.
Yep. Go ahead, Bishop.
To win any person, especially the young people, what do we have to offer?
Wow.
You see, because if they come out the clubs, they come out from jobs, and these young people around multi-million-dollar corporations, and they just came out the club, and God started dealing with their hearts, when the same way he started dealing with me, he doesn't change. And so is our lights right? Is our sound right? Is the temperature, is it right? Are we nice to them?
Yes.
You see, there are certain things that we can do that are principles that don't change.
Yes.
How to win the young people or any people. And so we got to go back to having something to offer. There was as my bishop teaches me, Bishop McLaughlin, my spiritual father, he said that it was told to him, and he tells us this story, that when some people from the United States went over into the Middle East, and they were saying, we heard that you know your sheep by name.
Yes.
He said, yes, I do know my sheep by name. He said, but could you call them? I want to see this. And so the shepherd held his hand out. And when he held his hand, I said, what? He said, I need some money. Money for what? To buy grain. Because if I call them and they come and I have nothing to offer, they ain't going to come again.
Amen. Yes.
So what do we have anything to offer the young folk? Are we getting things right and putting things in place? At least if they don't come, they won't have an excuse.
Amen. And that's good, because I believe that there ought to be some type of marketplace within the confines of the church. I also believe the power expressly calling people to have an understanding of the person of God,
mm-hmm.
the fellowship of the set apart spirit, the Ruach HaKedush, the Holy Ghost. And I think that's what's missing, is that we're not introducing them. Years ago, it was all about the jumping and, you know, shouting and things like that. And then we had to come into an educational understanding and having a mind, a utopia of saying, we need this utopia. We need to have the computers and set up for those that want to have education.
Mm-hmm.
We need a program set up for those that want to go back to school or whatever the case may be. And I believe we have established that
mm-hmm.
for over the years, since I've been in ministry for so many years. But what I've seen, the decline, and you brothers, you maybe could see it, decline is people, you don't hear it talking about the kingdom of God anymore mm-hmm. or being born again anymore. You mentioned Apostle Donaldson. I think a lot of times it's about this commercialism. Mm-hmm. It's all about me. It's all about the persona of ministry instead of producing Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach.
Mm-hmm.
And God bless you, Bishop McLaughlin, if you're listening, Von McLaughlin.
Amen.
And so do we need to, is there a need to in the churches to revamp that or revisit that, where that we need to say, hey, look, are you filled with the Holy Spirit?
And agree to a certain point with that, because they, in the Bible they say that we not even know that is there was a Holy Spirit, or there is a Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And when they said that, and you had to introduce people to, it's a process to Jesus, yes. You know, by the Holy Spirit and by living, you know, living right. Because, see, we can tell people, and once again, people don't want, they do not want to know how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yes.
We can't get away from that. So we can educate them. And I'm hearing what you're saying. Tell them about the kingdom of God. But do they know what the kingdom of God is? The Matthew 25 ministry demonstrates, is showing what church is.
Amen.
And we want them to be, but are we showing them what the church is? Because there's nothing wrong with the church. But you say the state of the condition of the body that makes up the church, because Christ is the church, but we know that we born-again believers are. And that's where it falls short at. You know, it's nothing wrong with the house, but sometimes the furniture kind of messed up. So we just got to get ourselves, you know, in place by being, you know, the church. Because Matthew 25 ministry, feeding, clothing, I had some young people that I mentioned last night. I need some people at the church tomorrow to do something. And all the millennials showed up to work, because you got to spend time with folk.
Yes.
The kids spending time. We have everything that you're saying, the state of the art church, this, that, and the other. But they want to know, after it's over with and the lights are off, can we spend some time? Can you talk with me? And see, we got to get back down to the general things to win them.
Amen. And I totally agree, because Apostle Donaldson, you know, you mentioned earlier how people take on these titles and not even understand. Paul said in Corinth church, he was speaking to babies.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that is written in Corinth church is established of not meat. Everything is milk. And are we missing those fundamentals? And just I'm a prophet, I'm an apostle, this, a bishop, that. Because I do agree with what you were saying, man of God. We need to begin to teach them instead of them being in the house 2 years, and now you're a chief apostle and you're 20. Mm-hmm. Apostle Donaldson, do we need to forgive me, you guys, that because I see it. You know, I've been in ministry for over 30 years, and so do we need to go back to that teaching status?
Well, yeah,
really quickly.
I definitely agree, because the Bible says if the foundations be destroyed, then what can the righteous do, right? So you see mentoring all throughout the scripture. You see it with Elijah and Elisha. I mean, Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Handkerchiefs were taken off his body and the sick was healed. But it was Barnabas that opened the door for him to come to Jerusalem and be accepted. As great as he would be, he needed a Barnabas. So it's important for us to have that mentoring, the young people that Bishop spoke about, pouring into them. Unfortunately, what happens is you'll have a young person that's gifted and talented, and people start patting that individual on the back and telling them how great they are. And before they're fully developed by leadership, they think it's time for them to launch out on their own. They think they're smarter than the leader. I mean, you know, Moses' own brother and sister. And the sons of Korah thought he wasn't qualified. So that's the challenge now. And we have to be honest and say, you know, the Bible does talk about a great falling away and how men would be lovers of themselves and lovers of pleasures more than God. So that's going to play a part into it. But I definitely think discipleship, and also getting back to what James said, you know, pure and undefiled religion is keeping ourselves unspotted from the world, but it's also taking care of the widows, the orphans, visiting the prisoners. I think we've been preaching the unspotted part, but I think in a lot of areas we've neglected the widows, the orphans, the prison ministry, and reaching back into the community. So the church, people in the community look and they see all the scandals about gold toilet bowls and a lot of the excesses, and they're like, I don't want to do, you know, anything to do with that. Mm-hmm. So we're going to need to demonstrate the power of God through the Holy Ghost.
Amen. And holistically, I think that, you know, when it comes down to a church, they have to come together and talk about mentorship. Mm-hmm. Bishop Williams, talk about mentorship.
By mentoring, we have to do that. We have to. When you mentor someone, are you going to treat them as a mentee, a stepchild, or are you going to treat them as like they're yours?
Yes.
Because eventually, when someone say you're mentoring them, but yet you're distanced from them, it comes back. And you know, I don't apologize, and if I do, I will. But Jesus, a lot of time, we miss the practicality of Christ.
Yes.
A God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, Holy Ghost, and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed for the devil. We remember everything about him, but we don't remember how he went about doing good.
Yes.
So in the mentoring aspects, do that just like with Moses and with his father-in-law, which is a father-in-law, was a father.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to mentor someone just like they're your son, like they're your daughter. Because they smart, this generation is smart. If they pick it up that you just doing something, to feel in the space, you're going to lose them.
Yes.
And we just got to get back. Now, I believe in theology. As I'm taught, theology is shaping the community like we're doing right now, talking and knowing about each other. You could be sharp. God said they professed to be wise. They became fools. We should be smart. We should be, you know, our eschatology. Epistemology, you know, and all these things, etymology and all these mologies and everything that we have, but yet, are we demonstrating these things? Because look what Paul said in 2 Timothy, it says, and he really motivated them into even encouraged them by setting, you know, an example. He said, all these things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, for the same commit now to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. So if I'm able to teach you, if I'm able to mentor you, you know, but yet when all that's over, excuse me once again, can I follow you home? Excuse me once again, can I sit around your table? Excuse me once again. It still goes back no matter how sharp we are, smart. And that's why I'm looking around at 20-year-old and 30-year-old apostles and bishops and so forth, if they can ask to see the work.
Yes.
And we thank you, Bishop, for being here to see that time go by, especially when you're having fun.
Yes.
We thank you, Bishop, for being with us. Yes. Amen. And too.
Amen. Thank you. Praise God. On the second half, amen. We're going to go to the second half on talking about the church. Amen. Been a blessing. Great subject. Amen. So y'all just stay in and listen in. Amen.
Amen. And we love you to death until you come back. Love you to life. And just tune in again.
Yes. Amen.
Bye-bye.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us for Infusion with Americus and Clarice Cheney. If you would like to correspond with or contact this ministry, you can follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And visit them online at soulharvestfamilyworshipministries.org.